ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Yes, it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's Friday, May 24th, 2019. Hello, Dave.
Hey, happy Memorial Day weekend, Melody.
Yes, and to you and to the listeners, and boy, oh boy, it was a quiet day in trading. Also here at Discount Gold and Silver, we'll probably be closing here shortly after the program. So if you want to make any orders, call at 5 o'clock to keep me here, keep me working till 6. Other than that, we're going to be closed. We'll be closed on Monday. Our newsletter is going to be sent off on Tuesday, so there will be a newsletter this week, and so it'll be a 3-day weekend, so you know, enjoy, be safe. And yesterday I made a comment with the big drop in the stock market the day before. I thought, I wonder if the plunge protection team, because usually heading into a 3-day weekend, the markets are always higher. Always, I'll bet you can't find a 3-day weekend where the markets were lower. And they did. They brought them back. They were all positive. Although they were off their highs of the day, they're still in the green. And so a lot of people will have things. Well, you know, the Dow is still at 25,587. And they can be tickled and they can go out and enjoy and be happy for their long weekend. But so we're going to talk about how ugly the paper markets were looking and are looking. But first, let's go ahead and get to the precious metals. Gold struggled a little bit today, but we managed to be up $1.90. So, woohoo, $1.90, but it's really good. $1,285.70 for gold today in the New York spot price aftermarket. Silver. Now, I said yesterday, I thought maybe silver was going to be breaking away from the white metals, and because the white metals, platinum and palladium, were to the downside, silver was positive. Today, we had a little bit of reversal. Silver was only down 2 pennies, 1464, where platinum was up 6 at 809, and palladium was up 25 at 1342. So again, you're seeing silver trade opposite of the two major industrial metals, platinum and palladium. The USDX today was down 0.27 at 97.58. Crude oil was up 85 cents at 58.76. And the stock market today, the Dow was up 95 points, 25,585. NASDAQ up 8, 76.37. S&P was up 3 at 2,826. 10-year yield, 2.32%. It was up 0.03. European Asia markets were fairly quiet, and I guess all the hoopla on the trade is basically why they had a little bit of a reversal. Of course, now, after a day of a 400-point drop, now the next day, you know that the trade is going a little bit better, and we should soon have an agreement. So not sure what will happen on Tuesday.
I hear the wolves howling in the background.
Oh, good grief. It just changes. And I don't think these trade talks would actually change that quickly in the, you know, in the calculations or the, you know, the agreements within. I don't think they change that quickly. But we're going to talk about a lot of things. The one thing I did see, I don't know if we're going to talk about J.P. Morgan / the second quarter GDP forecast of 1%. Yeah, that's a 1%. And Mexico's economy is going to shrink in the first quarter. And there really isn't a whole lot of news. Do we have anything today on core capital goods?
No.
That came out today. New orders for U.S. made capital goods fell more than expected in April. Further evidence that manufacturing and the broader economy were slowing. The slowdown was driven by exports. And of course, what we talked about, why the first quarter was so strong, was the buildup of inventories. Orders for non-defense capital goods, excluding aircraft, dropped 0.9%. Overall orders for durable goods, which are items that range from toasters to, although this is a wide range, toasters to aircraft. That's kind of funny. It just tickled me. That are meant to last 3 years or more, so items that are supposed to last more than 3 years, tumbled 2.1% in April. That's a big drop, particularly when we had that turnaround in housing a little bit and refinancing. You think people would be out there buying washing machines and so forth. And so new orders for U.S.-made capital goods fell. And let's see if there's anything else exciting in that report. No, not really. So not a lot of talk today on durable goods. And I remember this report used to move markets. So not in today's world. And as we said, we're going to talk about the Dow. The Dow posted its fifth straight negative week. And this is the longest losing streak since 2011, Dave. And so, you know, we see as the global stocks tumbled yesterday, along with just about every other risk asset. We talked briefly little yesterday about weak manufacturing, but it's just not weak manufacturing here in the States. It's reports from around the globe. And of course, then we have more of this trash talk coming both from the U.S. and China. Not sure if that finally broke the camel's back or if he's able to get up one more time.
No.
But so it's we saw the dollar strengthen to its highest level since May of 2017. And what else you got there?
Well, it just, you know, even though we're not keeping count, it just the clear feeling that more and more market observers are, you know, seeing that the risks in the markets, the paper markets, are appearing to be, you know, greater than possible rewards. Michael O'Rourke, who's with Jones Trading, he's the latest to say, you know, that, you know, there should be more downside. Again, that's to stocks. And but you know, there are certain commodities. you know, that fell 3% yesterday. The S&P GSCI total return. Oil had its worst day in 6 months, down 5% yesterday. 10-month Treasury yields, you know, the bellwether benchmark, fell to their lowest level since October 2017. Oh, it's you know, it doesn't end. You know, earlier in the week, China's stock exchange sank over 7%. It's the biggest fall since early 2016. Happens to be the fourth largest decline this decade, the 10th in this century, and the 23rd largest in its history. So, you know, it's just more and more news of global slowdown and decline, Melody, as we progress and head towards the middle of 2019.
We know some of South America's largest economies, like Brazil, Colombia, even Mexico. I mean, they're just treading water. And you know, if the larger economies like the U.S., Europe, if we slow down, I mean, they're gonna sink. So I'm not sure how they're still treading water when everything else is, of course. They probably weren't as far out of the water as a lot of the, you know, countries like the U.S. and so forth. So,
yeah,
maybe they just need to have, you know, more of a turndown to be truly impacted. But I don't, you know, we have Africa's two largest economies, South Africa and Nigeria. We know they're not doing well. Australia, they're fighting to avoid its first recession in almost 30 years. So, again, countries around the world are not doing well. And we continue to hear, hey, 1% for our second quarter. That's a huge drop. And so and I think once it falls, what's there to hold this up? I can't remember which country it was, Dave. I saw for home mortgages, there were actually negative rates.
Now, that's what I call special financing option.
Well, that's what's telling me that. Are you kidding me? I can't recall. I'll have to see if I can't Google it and find out what it is. Negative rates for mortgages. That's, I can't even wrap my head around that one. How does that work?
That's a good question.
How would that work?
I mean, you know, when banks offer, you know, when there's deflation, I mean, they're basically charging you to keep your money in the bank. So I honestly don't know. I don't know how that works.
It was late news and late night news when I saw it and so forth, so I didn't pay much attention. But something else that's big in the news is Theresa May. She's looking to resign in June, Dave.
Well, yeah, she announced in a somewhat tearful press conference of sorts, an announcement that she will resign as the Conservative Party leader on June 7th. That's following a furious backlash to her last-ditch effort to round up support in Parliament for her Brexit plan. She said in this speech outside of 10 Downing Street this morning, "I have done my best. It is and will always remain a matter of deep regret to me that I have not been able to deliver Brexit." Her voice cracked with emotion as she said it had been the honor of my life to serve the country that I love. Now, May will remain as PM while the party holds a leadership contest, with her successor expected to be in place by the end of the summer. May was finally ousted following a cabinet revolt over her decision to offer members of parliament a vote on whether to hold a second referendum. Didn't go over too well.
Well, if she resigns on the 7th, then why is she waiting until the end of the summer? Is that just how they do things?
Well, I suspect that, you know, she announces her resignation and then stays on until a successor is chosen. That's my guess. I don't know if they have some sort of succession plan that would permit someone else to stand in, while other people line up votes for this election that'll be held sometime over the summer. But apparently, while they're not going to be, the American Democratic Party with dozens of the candidates for president, it does look like, several, possibly as many as 10 could line up for,
Well, I saw that Boris Johnson's pretty much has the highest percentage of them. I mean, he's like 40 and the rest of them are like 10.
Yeah.
So it looks like he might be the next one and see what he'll be able to get done. And it's I don't know much about her. I don't know her politics. I don't know why she couldn't get this done or if he's going to run into the same thing. But I'll tell you what, it did age her.
Yeah.
And it did age her. And I could almost feel her sense of failure when she was giving her when her voice cracked. But my next question is, I don't know if I want to see a leader cry.
The other question is, can Boris or somebody else do any better? I mean, we will see.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be that, you know, a number of votes, even though, you know, the biggest issue continues to be the question of Ireland and open borders and trade. It just could be that another leader will bring enough votes for a majority, to consummate the Brexit exit. But there's a chance that the successor could run into the same thing.
Well, the EU is saying, why are we? I guess she was coming. She was trying to negotiate a better trade than what they have now. And the European Union says, well, why would we give you a better deal now when you're leaving the European Union, you know? So, so it depends more on what, you know, it's not so much what the EU is willing to accept, it's how much the UK is willing to give up. So, anyway, kind of interesting. And when you talk about a saga, good grief.
Yep, it continues.
And we also have oil futures. They suffered their largest single session loss of the year yesterday, dropped to the lowest settlement in roughly 2 months. And, of course, let's call it the U.S. and China trade standoff. And, of course, led to the broad aversion to assets that were perceived as risky. And, of course, along knocking down all the global equities. So, kind of interesting, Dave. Both WTI and Brent crude saw their biggest single session dollar and percentage losses year to date.
Yeah, I mean, once again, as you mentioned, you know, the trade war, the rising tensions there are raising doubts about, you know, near term appetite for crude. You know, if the tariff conflict remains unresolved for, you know, an extended period. And this is coming from the market participants themselves. You know, commodity investors now fear that, you know, those tariff tensions could intensify a, you know, a downturn in the global economy that appears to be, you know, already there, already occurring in Europe. So, you know, on the supply-demand side, you know, the EIA reported that crude supplies rose by almost 5 million barrels for the week ended May 17th. That marks the second weekly climb in a row. Also showed gasoline stocks up, that is, supplies up almost 4 million barrels.
Well, I found this kind of interesting, Dave, and we're just about heading into our second break, so we'll touch on this when we come out, about high-yield savings accounts. That's actually outperforming the stock market?
Oh, yeah. How about that? Stashing some cash in savings account used to be the monetary equivalent of stuffing money in a mattress. Well, could those days be over? Some are saying so. You know, it's all relative to the times. In 2018, high-yield savings accounts outperformed the stock market for the first time in over a decade. As a result of rising interest rates, savings rates are now as high as 2.4%. That's up from 0.1% on average before the Fed started increasing the Fed funds rate in 2015. And of course, we know the S&P 500 and Dow Jones ended 2018 with their biggest annual losses in 10 years.
Finish up with that when we get back from a break. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my guest host, Dave Allen. Please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival. Thank you for joining us today, the Friday, going into the Memorial Day weekend. As I mentioned, we will be playing a replay on Monday. We will not have a live program on Monday, but we will have the newsletter coming out Tuesday. So, with that in mind, also to let you know, on Tuesday, Greg Hunter will be joining me for that hour. So I'm not sure which will be with me or not, as he's traveling to Colorado this weekend. So he's not sure he'll be able to join us or not. But so it'll be Greg Hunter and myself. Heading into the break, we were talking about the higher rates, perhaps that you can receive at some banks. But tell us where those banks are at, Dave, and the risk.
Well, Melody, these aren't banks that you necessarily walk to.
No?
No, you need a computer or a smartphone for these. We're talking about online banks, you know, and they're able to offer higher yielding accounts because they have lower overhead costs than you know, your normal brick and mortar bank. But you know, most consumers don't check the interest rates in their savings accounts, and you know, that can cost them. Now, go ahead.
What are you gonna say? One thing I've always learned was anything that pays a higher yield, there's higher risk involved, because granted they do have lower overhead and so forth, where they can get away with it and everything. But you know, personally, I believe I wouldn't, and I know a lot of my customers do, Dave, but I wouldn't bank a dollar with any online bank.
Well, just, you know, here's the point. We talked about this
school
offline. Well, you know, it's if you got a bunch of cash, why are you in a bank at all? Why aren't you calling us?
That's right.
And putting that money in gold and silver. Gold is money, ladies and gentlemen. And it's safe. It's certainly safer than equities right now, most times. It's safer than bonds. That's a wacky, scary market.
And sometimes, you know, we read the high numbers and so forth, but, you know, and things have been steady and so forth. And I know people who've done well in the stock market and so forth, but I've also known people who are just basically breaking even with the stock market. So, you know, it really is a difference. And yes, with gold and silver, I mean, little risk, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, come on. Like, particularly in the world that we live in today. And Dave, when we were break, you were telling me about a lot of the mortgage funding is actually coming from the online banks. And you were telling me something very interesting that I wasn't aware of. And that was about people think that they're paying lower rates than what they really are.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, you really have to pay attention. I mean, this is whether you're, you know, doing business with a conventional bank, but especially with an online bank. And you know, I'm reading more and more about consumers who, you know, think they're excited that they're getting, you know, a 4.4% 30-year fixed mortgage. And they're not paying attention to the small print that says, well, you know, you've got a $2,800 points, for lack of better words, an origination or application fee. You know, if you make a late payment, I mean, longer than 5 days, I mean, some of these banks are charging 25-26% interest on that portion. So instead of paying 4.4% just with the origination fee, you know, that could shoot it up to 5.75% percent. So just be careful. Read the small print. Banks are now required to tell you. Most don't. I mean, some have it again in small print, but ask the loan officer you're working with, what is my APR? So that's sort of the total interest rate after you take into effect all the fees they're charging you. So, you know, if they're saying the interest rate on the home equity loan or your first mortgage is 4.4% for a 30-year fixed, but then there are, you know, $5,000 worth of fees, you're paying a substantially higher amount. Protect yourselves, ladies and gentlemen.
So you want to ask what the total APR is.
What's the total APR, kind sir or madam?
Do they even really know?
Yes.
They do.
Well, if they don't, they're probably breaking the law. I would be awfully surprised to nearly shocked if that figure wasn't a part of a presentation page that they may or may not present to the customer. But it's actually somewhat easy to calculate.
Well, you know, these mortgage companies, I mean, when you go to closing, oh my gosh, it's like reading a book. A novel. I mean, there's so many pages, and it's, you know, almost like Nancy Pelosi. We'll figure out what's in it. You know, we'll sign it and then read it.
I know. And that's right. That's right.
And so, yeah, it's and most of the language in these loans, I mean, you do have to be an attorney to fully understand it. And the legalese in it and so forth. So, and we just take it for granted that our, you know, or a lot of people take it for granted that the real estate agent or your bank or whoever you're dealing with has your best interest at heart. But, well, they don't.
And, no, it's, you know, they have their best interest at heart.
And most people will sign it, and, you know, they never have a problem. But they really don't really know what they're paying. And I can understand, David. It just baffles me. It just baffles me. You have a $250,000. What's the median home today? $300,000, and you pay at the end of your 30 years. You basically are paying $600,000 almost.
That's right.
And it's like, what is wrong with this picture? I mean, anyway, that's another story. It's another topic. That's another. Problem.
Ain't no simple interest in the housing market.
No, and that's the problem. That's why we have so many issues in our housing market. There is no affordable housing anymore. I can't even remember the last time we did have affordable housing. It's been a long time. Or did we ever have it after we went off on the gold standard, became a fiat currency, after they took us off silver, after they closed the gold window, and in 33 confiscated gold?
Yeah, I think maybe from 1945 to 1970, we probably had it's probably the period where, you know, where homeownership skyrocketed, but ever since then,
yeah. I mean, it's and that's inflation. It's just not supply and demand, ladies and gentlemen. And you basically, your house, it shouldn't be or not to the degree that we have seen it in the past. I mean, people put everything expecting it's always going to go up, but it really is a depreciating asset. By the time you figure out everything that you always put into your home, the upkeep and so forth, you put a lot of money. People put a lot of money into their homes just to keep it, you know, the way they'd like it. Paint, repairs, insurance, upgrades here and there and so forth. It's more a depreciating asset. So anyway, beware, buy gold. Call Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. And, you know, earlier, everyone knows pretty much King World News. And they reported that with the U.S. $22-plus trillion in gross national debt, they're suggesting that the price of gold should be at least $1,900 an ounce. In fact, to the extent that the price of gold usually overshoots the debt, the U.S. debt, rather than simply catching up, it should trade well in excess of $1,900. And remember, Mr. Duffy, the CME, Chicago Mercantile, he says gold should be trading at $5,000 or $6,000 based on what is actually transpiring in this country and around the world. And that's with debt, all the geopolitical. It baffles the most experience, all of us, why gold can't break this $1,300, other than just plain, downright, flat-out manipulation. But it's going to spring, and it's going to spring big. And this always makes us feel real comfortable. Aren't you glad that the U.S. House is passing a bill to improve retirement savings? Here's another reason you should own gold and silver, because whenever the House passes a bill to improve your retirement savings, how comfortable do you feel with that?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be pulling it out and running to the hills. And it's called the Secure Act. And this is based, and this is backed by both Republicans and the Democrats. And this measure includes a variety of provisions intended to increase the ranks of savers and the amount that they put away. And so these changes are making it easier for small businesses to band together to offer 401k plans. And of course, requiring businesses to let long-term part-time workers become eligible for retirement benefits. And they're going to repeal the maximum age for making contributions to traditional IRAs. Right now, that's 70 and a half. So it would also raise the age when required minimum distributions from certain retirement accounts must start at age 72 from 70 and a half. And of course, they're also going to make changes to annuities. So, you know, I don't know. I get mixed thoughts about this, Dave. You know, making it easier for small businesses. I don't know.
Well, you know, we're going to have to pay attention to some of these provisions, you know, as the bill moves forward. You know, this RMD, the required minimum distribution, that could be an important provision. Going to take a look and make sure if there are any changes to precious metal IRAs. Probably not, but you never know. But interestingly, a provision that would have allowed money from tax advantage 529 education savings plans for homeschooling expenses, that was stripped away during a House Rules Committee vote earlier this week. That's before it went to the floor. Now it's heading to the Senate. That still has to be discussed and voted out of committee. There's a similar but not identical bill. It's called the Retirement Enhancement and Savings Act. And although the provisions do largely mirror those in the House bill, it doesn't include some of the Secure Act proposals, such as, you know, an increase in the age for the RMDs and a new requirement that companies provide for 401k access to part-time workers. So, interesting stuff. I think good to be wary. However, to the extent they improve the way for those either currently in or considering a precious metal IRA, we will make sure to follow this and keep you abreast of its status.
The problem I have with this is usually government doesn't make things better. They don't make things better, period. Number two, all week long, we hear nothing about the trade. We hear, the Democrats, the Republicans, they are this, they are that, and blah, 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 you can't get anything done, and da, 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 da. And here they are, while everybody is focused on all the noise, they do little deals like this. You know, who's talking about the farm bill? Who's talking about the trillions of dollars, the billions of dollars going to the disaster relief? Everybody is so focused on calling each other names, and in the meantime, they get all the little things done that they don't want you to know about. And then all of a sudden, you get these changes, and it's like, oh, okay. That's what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. They're doing it right in front of your nose because they have you so distracted with everything else that's going on. And this is the stuff that they tell us about. So what else is going on? And it's not any different than it was or will be. It's just... Talk about healthcare, Dave. Get me fired up again. More.
Is that where you want to go? Well, this is an interesting and alarming, actually, story. You know, every trip to a doctor's office or hospital adds more information to a comprehensive record online, record of who you are, physically, emotionally, even financially. Now, healthcare data breaches are more common than ever. It's putting our most sensitive personal information at risk of exposure and possibly misuse. Now, a vast majority of doctors' offices and hospitals now use digitized record systems. And even though electronic health records have pitfalls, they can help patients and the healthcare system overall. For example, if new doctors or emergency room nurses can quickly pull up a list of your allergies or what meds you're on, they're a lot less likely to accidentally give you something you shouldn't be having, you know, and if they can see a recent test result, they're less likely to order a new and unnecessary test that runs up the bills for you, the hospital, and, you know, the insurance companies.
Well, that's what they're supposed to do, but they will do everything possible to run up those bills if they can. And again, we're not aware. We're not, And when you get in that position, you just always trust those who are supposed to be helping you and everything. And, and it's become so overwhelming, Dave. And there's a lot of things that we can't control. I mean, when it was paper, you could see it, you could read it. A lot of people, especially elderly people, they're not, computer literate. So it's very difficult for them that they don't have iPhone, iPhones and so forth. And but we are on. We are heading into a break. We'll be returning here shortly. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. I got my thoughts back about me, and heading into that break, I was thinking it was the end of the program already. It just goes by so fast. This I find interesting, Dave, about NASA. They're getting into the traffic management business.
Yeah, go figure. NASA essentially with eyes, toward the ground. We're not talking about the NSA. We're talking about the NASA. NASA has launched the final stage of a four-year effort to develop a national traffic management system for drones. It's testing them in cities for the first time beyond the operator's line of sight, especially as businesses in the future, look to unleash the unmanned devices, en masse above busy streets and buildings. Multiple drones took to the air at the same time above downtown Reno, Nevada this week in a series of simulations that tested this emerging technology that someday, possibly soon, will be used to manage hundreds of thousands of small unmanned commercial aircraft delivering packages, pizzas, and medical supplies. I can see it now, Melody. All the major employers in the big cities are going to have big bins of safety helmets for office workers to put on before they leave their building and head out into that crazy new world. We live in interesting times. That's all I can say.
I mean, I just couldn't imagine, it's surveillance, it's control, but these are equipped with GPS. Some of these drones flew at each other no higher than city streetlights, and they were able to avoid colliding through the onboard tracking systems. And there have been similar tests that have been conducted in remote and rural areas. The Federal Aviation Administration has authorized individual test flights in cities before, but never for multiple drones or outside the sight of the operator. Mm. Now, this new round of tests continue through summer in Reno, Corpus Christi, and will mark the first simulations that have combined all those scenarios. The results are going to be shared with the FAA, and then the agency outlined proposed rules in January that would ease restrictions on flying drones over the crowd. So it's kind of, I wouldn't know what to do if I looked up and saw a drone flying overhead.
Well, it's just not flying overhead. I mean, some of them are going to be coming in for a landing when they're, making their delivery. So you can just see throngs of people on Broadway, with their heads, with their hands protecting their heads and faces, as these drones weave in and out of pedestrian traffic, trying to make their way to the entrance of an office building or whatever. It's fascinating. But I mean, Amazon and FedEx are among the companies that hope to, send consumer products by drone next year. Drone delivery company Flirty began testing delivery of defibrillators for cardiac arrest patients last year in Reno under FAA oversight. And interestingly, critics are saying that the FAA has stymied the commercial use of drones by applying the same rigid safety standard it uses for airlines. Well, excuse me, but I don't. I'm not one for unnecessary governmental intervention or regulation. But when it's it comes to testing something like this, something new, that's going to put hundreds of thousands of vehicles, hundreds of thousands of pedestrians potentially in harm's way. If that's going to be the new normal, then let's make sure, we've got the protections in place so we're minimizing, accidents from the start.
But my question is, if they're doing this for delivery, I know we're 70%, a consumer economy. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, isn't that telling us that we really are buying too much stuff, or our population has really increased significantly? Is our delivery system so antiquated today? Is this all part of the infrastructure, and how much government money is going into these testings? We know NASA's got a big bonus funding from the government, from the taxpayers.
Yes.
So it's, in addition to the moon and everything, it's good grief.
Yeah. I don't know. Again,
what are they testing and why are they testing?
If it's for commercial delivery, the thing that bothers me, it's not going to come by a paid truck driver anymore, or paid.
Maybe this is a way to eliminate the U.S. Postal Service.
Van driver. I don't know. It seems to me it's a way to reduce these companies' expenses by getting rid of human capital and the cost of labor.
Yeah. So what are people going to do for a job? Let's go on and let's talk about the economy. And you, in the newsletter or it was actually the blog today, that you talked about the distressed communities in America. And we touched on it briefly yesterday, but you had just briefly, very briefly. And tell us about the lack of economic progress since the Great Recession of 2008.
Well, it's an interesting report, Melody. Economic opportunity in the U.S. appears to be tied more than ever to location, location, location. Now, that's the outcome that's been seen by this county-by-county report from the nonprofit Economic Innovation Group, EIG. Their new study shows that most of today's distressed communities, and there are all sorts of metrics that are in this report that we won't go over here, essentially define what makes a distressed community, what makes, a good community. But it says that today's distressed communities saw zero net gains in employment and business establishment since 2000. That's actually before the Great Recession. In fact, more than half of those communities have seen net losses on both fronts. Over a decade ago, the global financial crisis impacted our economy, our politics, and our society in ways that few would have expected. Looking back, the EIG wondered, how did the Great Recession and subsequent recovery affect the quality of life in American communities? And by saying that, they literally mean in all American communities. They literally looked at data in every county in the United States. Yeah, pretty exhaustive.
Wow.
So.
you write that the EIG found what it calls a great reshuffling, that it has vast implications for Americans and the communities they live in.
Well, yeah, in the years since the crisis, the study found that top-tier places have thrived, seeing meteoric growth in jobs, business, and population. Meanwhile, the number of people living in America's most distressed zip codes is shrinking as the nature of that distress becomes more and more rural. But in the gap in, you know, the gaps in well-being between these top-tier prosperous areas and the rest have grown wider. And national rates of growth have become more distant from the median community experience. In other words, the good places have been getting better, and the not-so-good places have been getting worse.
Let's talk about the report's major findings. First, population and prosperity. They've become more intertwined.
Yeah, the number of people living in prosperous zip codes jumped up by 10.2 million between the two time periods, to a total of 86 plus million, more than any other quintile. You know, at the same time, number of Americans living in distressed zip codes fell by 3.4 million to a total of 50 million. That's the smallest population of any quintile.
Next, the falling number of Americans in distressed zip codes reflects a shift in the geography of economic distress towards rural areas.
Yeah, this part of it is interesting. I mean, rural zip codes, because I think it confirms a lot of the political or the analysis that we're seeing, hearing, and being affected by the emerging politics in our country. You know, rural zip codes exhibited the most volatility and were by far more the most likely to be downwardly mobile. You know, and, you know, 30% of people in these rural zip codes dropped into a lower quintile of prosperity. Meanwhile, suburban communities registered the greatest stability, with 61% remaining in the same quintile over both time periods, while urban zip codes were the most vigorous, at least like the least likely to decline, and the most likely than their suburban counterparts to rise.
Well, you know, in the rural zip codes, Dave, we'd have a lot of farmland.
Yeah.
You know, we've been talking, you know, a lot lately about farmers, the difficulties they're having, and it's not including the recent flooding is going to increase those numbers. So, did the report go into, this is my own question, did the report go into the types of losses, or just generally just a more generic numbers?
There are different categories, and the report itself, which is pretty comprehensive, has a number of, I think, excellent charts and graphs that show these different categories of gain and loss, you know, more on a regional basis, but you can break down, if you have access to a computer or a smartphone, you can actually click on this map of the United States, expand it, you know, into your state and see all your, like, the 67 counties in Pennsylvania. Click on each county and view, I mean, not just an overview, but a pretty decent, you know, detail of, you know, all the quality of life metrics that went into this report. It's an interesting find. I don't believe it's going to be controversial. The EIG was smart to stay away from anything resembling party politics. They stayed away from value judgments that, you know, might call into question their intent. But for folks who are interested in following the money, in income disparity, income inequality, this is a terrific report. We have it, this map that I mentioned, on our Facebook page. If you're interested, you can go there. Or I believe, I think it's EIG.org, but I'm not 100% sure of that.
And how do they get to our Facebook page?
Oh, well, they can either, they go into Facebook and search for Discount Gold and Silver, or when you're in Facebook, just search the @ and DGS Coins, @DGS Coins, and that'll take you right to our page.
All righty, fantastic. We got about a minute left. Real quick, why was it important that India's Modi won the election?
You tell me. I mean, apparently it's a lot of people are outsiders are viewing this as a referendum on Modi's nationalistic politics. Now, 600 million people apparently voted over these last 6 weeks. That's pretty impressive. There's some who think, particularly in the opposition parties, who thought that Modi, particularly in the last several months of the campaign, that he was, unnecessarily bringing the country to the brink of war with, say, Pakistan, which has since seemed to settle down. I mean, I haven't read anything about those tensions in the last 2 weeks or so. But there's also their economy. I mean, their economy has lost some steam. And it's the world's sixth largest economy. Unemployment there now is at the highest in over 40 years. So Modi's got his work cut out for him, especially with the agricultural industry.
Well, he does. And I heard that he's going to be a long-termer, just like the Chinese. So, anyway, Dave, have a great Memorial Day weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, you too. And we'll be back live Tuesday. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
If I got me a wealthy man.